All right, so this week we are continuing on with our sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. And if you could now take out the bookmarks that we've got that have the second and third petition on them. If you weren't here last week, our plan for the next few weeks as we go through the teaching of the Lord's Prayer is to have a bookmark each week on the petitions that we'll be going through. And you can keep this throughout the week. We encourage you to take it out, to look at it, to remember what it is that we are praying for when we pray as Jesus taught us this prayer. So we'll repeat I'll ask the questions and we'll repeat together as a congregation the answers. And so if you're on the side with the second petition, the second petition is Thy Kingdom Come. So what does this mean? The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. So how does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. And in the third petition, we pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when He breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let His kingdom come. And when He strengthens and keeps us firm in His word and faith until we die, this is His good and gracious will. So grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some prayers are harder to pray. I've learned that throughout the years, but probably the first time I realized the truth of that statement that some prayers are harder to pray was when my grandfather got sick and he was in the hospital when he died on that occasion. Maybe you've had a similar experience, but it's something that I relearn every time that I stand beside a hospital bed, just how difficult prayer can be. Because I remember praying at that time that my grandfather would get well. I remember praying that I would see him again. Truth be told, the last prayer I wanted to pray there in that moment was, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the truth is, in that moment, I wanted my will done. And if God's will happened to coincide with that, then okay. And maybe you've been in the same place, standing beside the hospital bed of someone you loved, finding it difficult to pray. Or maybe not wanting to pray because you fear how God might answer that prayer. Prayer can do that to even the best of us. It seems easy on Sunday morning like this when the sun is shining, there's not a cloud in the sky. It's much more difficult sometimes to pray in the darkness. Perhaps we're afraid sometimes of what God will say. We ask God for guidance. And maybe sometimes He leads us in ways that we'd rather not go. We ask God for wisdom, and sometimes the wisdom that He gives us seems more like foolishness. Or we pray for patience. And sometimes that prayer is answered not by God giving us more patience, but instead giving us opportunities to be patient. It's true, some prayers are harder to pray than others. As we pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we see the truth of that. You see, this is kind of how it works. God has a will and a desire for your life. But it's also true that I have a will and a desire for my life. And there are going to be times when God's will and desire for my life and my own will and desire for my life are in conflict. And when that happens, and when there's a conflict between what God's will is and my will is, only one of those two can be done. And when I pray this prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I'm praying that God's will would be done over and against my own. That's the basic difficulty we have when we pray this prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." We're implicitly asking God to overturn our will, if necessary. It may be one of the hardest prayers that you pray. It may be one of the hardest things that you learn. And in my life, it's been one of the hardest things that I've had to learn over and over again. Surrendering my will and my desires for the desire of God and His will and desire for my life. Now, that's just the first reason that this prayer can be a difficult one to pray. It's the most obvious, maybe. It's a difficult prayer to pray because not always does our will line up with God's will. Sometimes God's will for our life is very different than what we would imagine. Second reason that this prayer is a difficult one, though, is because when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," the truth is that sometimes God's will involves suffering and pain. And no one knew this better than Jesus. In contrast to what you might hear on TV from some of the more well-known preachers, God's will for your life isn't necessarily that you be financially blessed. It isn't necessarily that you and your family members are in good health all of the time. Jesus has called us, and He's made it very clear that when we're wanting to follow Him, that we should take up our crosses, deny ourselves, and follow Him. God's will, God's way, isn't necessarily free from suffering or pain. It isn't easy for us to come to terms with. It wasn't easy for Jesus either. Our second gospel reading for today was the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So I want you to kind of go back there with me. Just imagine going back there in time a couple thousand years ago. This is the night right after Jesus has celebrated the Last Supper, the Passover meal with His disciples. It's late. It's probably 10:30, 11 o'clock. It's dark outside. Jesus has finished that meal. Judas has already gotten up from the table and run to betray Jesus. Jesus knows here in this moment what is going to happen over the course of the next 24 hours. He knows because He's warned His disciples at least three times in the days and the weeks leading up to this moment what is going to come. He's told them at least three times, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men, arrested, crucified, and then on the third day He will rise again. So here in this moment, it takes Peter, James, and John, His three closest friends and followers, with them into the Garden of Gethsemane, this place that He has so often retreated to before, to pray because He knows that His own death is imminent. He knows the suffering that He's going to have to go through. And more than just knowing physically what's going to happen, He also sees coming towards Him that cup of God's wrath, full of all of the sin and the guilt and the suffering of everybody, not just in the past and His present, but also in His future, in our present. He sees that cup full of sin, full of my sin, and full of yours. Jesus, the sinless one, knows that He's going to be asked here in the next few hours to drink from this cup, to drink it all, to take all of that sin and suffering and pain on Himself. And so here in the garden, in this moment, He prays, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will." See, Jesus taught His disciples to pray, as He taught you and I to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." It's a prayer that He Himself prayed to His Father. Not as I will, but as you will. These are not words of unbelief. These are words of great faith. They're words of a man who knows what God's will is for his life and how much it's going to cost him. And yet he prays there in those moments, not my will, but your will be done. He was willing to pay the price. He was willing to take on that suffering and that sin because he knew what it would mean for you and I and for everyone. See, and if Jesus himself struggles with this prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, it shouldn't be any surprise in those moments of darkness that we ourselves struggle with it as well. See, we struggle with this prayer because oftentimes God's will involves suffering and pain. Probably the third reason that this prayer can be a difficult one, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is because so often we see in the world that God's will isn't done. We look out in the world and we become easily disillusioned. And it doesn't take much. You can flip on the TV or log on to a news site and you hear about wars and you hear about the refugee crisis over in the Middle East. You hear about the economy. Sometimes it's good news, and it seems like recently here in the last few years, a lot of times it's not. We hear about all of these things happening outside of ourselves, and then we look inside ourselves and we see where we'd like to see, you know, love and faith and kindness and joy. We look inside ourselves, and so often we see hatred and bitterness, jealousy, gossip and envy. We see all of this, and it's easy to become disillusioned. To wonder, God, I'm praying your will be done, but where is it being done? It's easy to wind up becoming apathetic, to throw up your hands and to pray thy will be done in just kind of a resigned way. But God does not accept the status quo. He doesn't accept that the sin and suffering that we see play out in our lives should continue forever. He doesn't accept that violence and killing should go on. He doesn't accept that. We know this because he came down. He came down in his son, Jesus, proclaiming the good news that in him, the kingdom of God is at hand. That in him, the will of God is done. And see, to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, is to join Jesus in proclaiming to a world that's lost. It's to join Jesus in proclaiming to a world that is condemned that in him the kingdom of God has come near, and in him the will of God is done here on earth, even when so often it looks like it isn't. See, to pray this prayer, these are fighting words. It's to proclaim that in a world where so often it looks like God's will isn't done, it's to pray that in this world God's will be done through us. See, this is what this final petition, this third petition, what the answer to this question means. What does it mean when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done? See, it means that the good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us as well. We pray that it may be done among us, or by us, or through us. We pray this prayer and we can't sit idly by when we see injustice done, when we see those in need. Because when we pray this prayer, thy will be done, when we see injustice, when we see those in need, that is our opportunity to do God's will for those people and in those circumstances. This prayer is difficult for a number of reasons. It's difficult because when we pray, your will be done, we're also condemning ourselves because that means that our will might not be done. It's difficult because when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we're recognizing that that kingdom and that will might involve suffering or pain on our part. It's a difficult prayer because when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, and we see so often in the world, it looks like God's kingdom isn't coming or his will isn't being done. It's easy to grow apathetic or to wonder what's taking so long. See, it's not wrong to struggle with this prayer. Because after all, Jesus struggled with it himself. It's like Jesus, we are to pray, even in the most difficult times, that God's will would be done and not our own. It's a prayer that we pray fully understanding what it will cost us because we know what it cost Jesus. Everything. C.S. Lewis once was writing about heaven and hell, and as he was writing about it, he said there are really only two kinds of people in the end. There are those whom say to God, "Thy will be done," who pray this prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." There are those people who say that to God, "Thy will be done," and there are also those to whom God says in the end, "Thy will be done." He would go on to write that all that are in hell choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. And then he wrote, "No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek, find. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Now the good news is that the reason that those who seek find, and the reason that for those who knock the door is opened, is because Jesus fulfilled this will of God. Because he prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but your will be done." He followed God's will, going to the cross, knowing that it would cost him his life, also knowing that it would give you yours. In Jesus' name, amen.